So my name is Eric Simmons, and I apologize for the early issues here with the call. And I want to welcome everybody to our morning prayer call. And I want to thank everybody for getting up early this morning and on this first prayer call of October 2021. I really pray that it encourage every one of you.
Okay. I think you all can hear me. Okay. All right. I'm going to mute everybody. All right. So you all should be able to hear me now. All right. Sorry about that. Just something weird going on with technology. I really apologize for that. All right. So let's just go ahead and open up in a word of prayer because we want to get this technical demon off of. forgive me. Lord, Father, I want to thank you so much for waking us up this morning, God, and allowing us to experience your love, even in times when technical difficulties seem to always plague us. You are still there to make a way, Father. You continue to always make a way, even when it seems like there are obstacles in front of us. And it's funny that you allowed this to happen, God, because my prayer call actually deals a lot with what we just experienced. So, Father, I pray that this word would touch each and everyone's heart, that it would be refreshing, encouraging, also, Father, that it would empower and embolden everyone that hears this, Father. And so we thank you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, good morning, everybody. In all seriousness, this morning I really want to encourage everyone with a quick word on what I call God-like faith and really how we keep our faith strong, vibrant, and effective. Our scriptures for this morning are going to be Mark 11, 12 through 14, and they're key scriptures, and Mark 11, 20 through 25. So we read 11, 12 through 14 in the NIV version. It says, "The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree and leaf, he went out to find out if it had any fruit, he being Jesus. And when he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. And then he said to the tree, 'May no one ever eat fruit from you again.' And the disciples heard him say it." And we continue on to verses 11, Mark 11, verse 15 through 19. Jesus is talking about driving out merchants. They talk about Jesus driving out merchants out of the temple courts, and Jesus leaves the town of Jerusalem. And so in the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig trees withered from the roots, they being the disciples, in verse 20. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you curse is withered. Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself in the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if anyone and you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." So this morning I want to talk about God, like the God kind of faith. In particular, we start our discussion around Jesus' words in Mark 11, 22, "Have faith in God." So I like to always kind of go back and look at some of the Greek translations or the etymological words, etymology of the words. And in the Greek, Jesus' words are translated ekten pisten theo. Ekten meaning have, pisten meaning faith, and theo from God. Now, sometimes there are like different opinions on the Greek and English translation of Mark 11:22. Some Bibles would translate the scripture "have faith in God," as in the case in NIV. However, the famous theologian A.S. Worrell, a famous world New Testament scholar, translated Mark 11:22 as have the faith of God. Now, when I was about 15 years old, I gave my life to Christ. I was really enthusiastic about the word, and I loved to watch Reverend K.C. Price of Crenshaw Christian Center. You know, and Dr. Price, he was really one of my faith heroes, you know, in my early journey as a Christian. And, you know, I was heartbroken when I heard he had passed away from COVID in February of this year. But he was 89 years old, and he lived a full life, and, you know, may God rest his soul. But his sermons, you know, they really intrigued me. And so I started reading a lot of scriptures on faith, and I came upon Mark 11. And at the time, there was a Bible that I was reading, and it translated, have the faith of God. And I immediately asked myself, what in the world does God's faith look like? Like, what does God's faith look like? You know, I mean, I have my faith, but what does God's faith look like? And this is what the scripture of the Holy Spirit kind of dropped in my heart or dropped in my spirit. And I'll never forget that. It said, you know, the Holy Spirit, not it, but he said, look at this really amazing universe that I've created. Consider all the wonders and the intricate beauty of it. Consider, you know, the power of stars and galaxies, and consider how complex and unique even your children are, right? I was at 15, but, you know, I think about this now. And, you know, consider the trillion of cells in your body, and each one of them is a complex machine to serve a divine purpose I have ordained for your life. And I created all of that in a spoken word of faith. God, man, I created all that in a spoken word of faith. And I had complete faith in what I said would manifest. I did not question my word. I did not doubt my word then, and billions of years later, regardless of any obstacles, like obstacles we had this morning, I continue to stand on my word. I spoke it, and I moved on. That's what my faith looks like, son. It's settled and final. And, wow, I was blown away when God said that to me, right? I mean, after that, I looked at the scripture in Mark 11, 25, a little bit differently when he started talking about speaking to mountains and throwing themselves into the sea. And, you know, I had a very much perspective on what faith meant after that, right? Now, as a young Christian, I literally thought Jesus was talking about real mountains, like, you know, go out and talk to a mountain and fall into the sea, right? And I would go out speaking to different things and proclaiming this and that. And I still do that today, right? And I understand that, you know, some have used the symbology of mountains, meaning moving mountains in our lives or different obstacles, like the obstacle we had this morning, right? You know, I was really asking God, you know, literally speaking faith in my mind, Lord, you're going to have to kill this technical difficulty demon that we were dealing with. So that's why it was funny. I always find it funny that God allows things like that to happen, to kind of blend into some of what we may have to say as I'm going through something like this or going through a prayer call. However, Jesus' statement taken literally is exactly in line with what the Holy Spirit spoke to me about God, you know, years ago, that God-like faith of speaking what seemed unhumanly impossible as if it's possible. That's that God-like faith. So now that we've kind of established what God-like faith is, it's this idea that it's a settle. You speak it or you believe it, it's settled and as it relates to God. But how do we keep our faith strong? I have three key points. Those three key points are going to be reading and hearing the word, heeding the word, or I kind of like to call that a faith and works synthesis when we talk about heeding the word. And then testing the word. So let's go back to reading and hearing the word. Mark 11, 14. And his disciples heard it. So that's what, when you go back to Mark 11, 14, it talks about when Jesus is talking about how he spoke to the tree. And it said when his disciples heard it. So they heard the word, right? In order for the disciples to experience faith with regard to the withered fig tree, they had to hear Christ first speak that command, right, that you will not bear any more fruit, right? Then Roman 10:17, faith cometh by hearing by the word of God. So there's that hearing aspect as it relates to reading and hearing the word, right? And then sometimes you may have to hear your own self declare out loud the promises of God over your life. So you think like you may say, I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:37, right? I can do all things through Christ, Philippians 4:13. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor the seed begging bread, Psalms 37:25, right? And this continues to be, you know, one that I declare as we work through the pandemic. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you, Psalm 97:1. In terms of really believing that God is protecting me and my family and those that I'm connected with from this pandemic. So that's hearing and reading and hearing the word. As you notice, hearing and speaking things that are broadly proclaimed through God's word as it relates, you know, potentially to your life. So the next section is heeding the word. And like I said, I like to call this what I call the faith and work synthesis. And, you know, we have faith for things that we can't control, and we act on the things that God enables us to control. So it's finding that synthesis, right? We don't want to become in that paralysis, that state of paralysis as it relates to our faith, right? And what I mean by that is that sometimes we can say, okay, I have faith, but then there's no action to it, right? And what James, in the book of James, James 2:17 through 18, it basically states it very succinctly. You know, it's really faith without works is dead. And in 17, it started in 17 of James chapter 2. In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. So there's this action portion that comes along with our faith, right, to keep it strong and vibrant, right? And he continues on, James, in the book of James chapter 2, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Well, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds or by what I do, in some translation, right? So that's one thing. You want to make sure that you're aligning you're aligning your faith and your actions together so that your faith is not dead. Be doers of the words and not hearers only. Just start deceiving yourself. James 1:22. I love the book of James because it really is. It kind of really just gets right to it, right? Heeding the word, really, it causes our faith to become activated. That's ultimately where the works come in, is that we believe, but then we activate, right? And it reinforces our need to rely upon God to accomplish his task for us. You know, in sports, they say that practice makes perfect. I tell that to EJ and my son all the time, and even with Kaya when they're learning to swim. You know, you got to keep practicing. You got to keep practicing. And same thing for us, putting our faith in action as we're practicing our faith and thereby perfecting our faith, right? So we're continuing to practice our faith. We believe a word from God, and we take things that we control and begin to act on them, right? And those things that are outside of our control, things that we don't know, we have faith to believe that God will bring those into fruition for us, right? And then last, the point in keeping our faith strong is testing the word. Probably one of the most famous scriptures on this is Malachi 3:10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much of blessing that there will even not be enough room to store it. Testing the word, right? So now this kind of goes along with our faith, right? There's this idea, okay, I have faith that by giving my tithe, God is going to open up the floodgates of heaven. But in order to see that manifest, there has to be an action, right? And faith involves a level of expectation, right? So it builds a sense of expectation, this testing. When you test something, you expect there to be a result, right? So faith involves a level of expectation as well. You know, recall earlier when I talked about God's answer to me, when I asked about God like faith, God had an expectation that whatever he said, it came to pass. In fact, he actually canonized that particular concept in scripture in Isaiah 55:11. And it says, So my word shall go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. I love King James Version. But you notice this idea that God sends out his word. He expects there to be a return. There's action that's accompanied by his word, right? And so as we speak words of faith over our lives, there we want to make sure we align our action. But here's one thing I want to caution. The testing of the word is not a license to get what you want, but we're testing the word as it relates to what God wants. That's why it's important to remember the points 1 and 2 before we test the word, is that we have to read and hear the word, understand what God's expectations are, and then we have to act in according to what those expectations that God wants, right? So we do what the word says, then we can test the word. So I always want to preface that. to make sure that we're not testing the word saying, well, you know, God, I want $1 million right now, and I expect it to happen. And it's like, well, you know, is that what God needs for you right now? You might need that, but that's not what God needs to accomplish his mission and his role for your life. So I just want to make sure I put that out there. So those are those three key points as it relates to God-like faith, right? Is that we're going to read and hear the word, or, you know, just reading the word and speaking the word over our lives, hearing that loud from ourselves, and also heeding the word. That's number two, or what I call the faith work synthesis. And then obviously testing the word in terms of putting that word into action and expecting to see results as it relates to how God's what God's will is for our life and what his agenda is for our life. All right. So those are the three points. I'm sorry for the technical difficulties this morning, but it seems like we got through it. Everybody, I see a lot of people on the call, so I really, really appreciate everybody coming on. I'm going to go ahead and close out with a quick word of prayer and get everybody started on their Thursday morning. All right? All right. Well, dear God, thank you so much, God. Always want to come to you in thanks because we have one. I always want to have a heart of gratitude knowing that you spoke a word in faith so long ago so that we could be at this very moment to hear from you, Father. I thank you for speaking through me and for helping us to work through all the issues that we had this morning, Father. But most of all, Father, I thank you for the very breath that you put into our bodies, God, so that we can be able to breathe, to speak, to hear, to listen, to give us ears to hear, Father, give us eyes to see, Father. And I pray, Father, that everyone on this call continues to experience God-like faith in their lives and their relationships, Father, and their activities, whether it be business or their jobs, whether it be with their children and their children's education, if it's with their health, Father, if it's with loved ones in terms of seeing loved ones come to Christ, Father. I pray whatever that you have your daughters or your sons to apply their faith to, that you would come forth with expectations that amazing things can happen, Father, and that you would manifest those things and that you would grow us in our faith, that you would help us to hear your word, Father, that you would help us to heed your word, Father, that we'd be able to put our faith and our work and synthesize and bring those together to bring forth the testing of your word and to really see your agenda being revealed in this world, Father. We are absolutely honored that you would entrust us with having faith in your word so that others would be blessed by seeing what you have accomplished in this world, Father, through us, Father. So we just want to bless you. We want to honor you. And we want to thank you so much for this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, everyone. I appreciate you joining on the call. Like I said, you know, we always kind of deal with some technical issues, but I really am thankful that everybody stood in there and stayed on the call. And hopefully next time we won't have this. I got to do one of these in November, so hopefully we'll work through these issues. All right, y'all take care. God bless, and have a great day.